You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with another Thursday thriller. Giants, Washington, good to the last kick. Both of them were all over it right off the top. No more moral victories. If the Cowboys are going to win out west, is it Dak or is it Zeke who'll have to lead them? And the marquee matchup with everything working against him. Can Lamar pull off the statement of the season against Patrick Mahomes? Those are the questions. We'll have the answers on a Football Friday, which starts right now. Get up from the seaport. Delighted you are here. Greeny and Graziano ready to go, and the crew is ready as well. Ryan Clark is dressed up this morning and looking good. Rob Ninkovich is ready to roll today as we get you through last night and all the upcoming NFL action. Let's begin with another Thursday thriller NFC East action. Giants and the Washington Football Team in our nation's capital. Good to the last drop. Third quarter. Giants down 14-13. Second and 10 at the 33. It's Daniel Jones. He had a real good night. Look at this throw to Darius Slayton. 33 yards up the sideline, and he keeps the toes in. Jason Garrett fired up as you take another look. Giants up 20-14. Jones, 249 yards. Zero turnovers. He threw one touchdown. It should have been two. Fourth quarter. Giants up three. Here's the other. Slayton wide open. Oh, how doesn't he catch it? Can't come down with the ball. It goes right through his fingers. Giants wind up settling for a 55-yard field goal. 26-20 New York. First play of the next drive for Washington. Taylor Heinicke, he had himself a night. J.D. McKissic. This is 56 yards up the right sideline. Washington on the move. Heinicke, 336 yards passing on the night and two touchdowns. Here comes one from the New York 19. This is the very next play. Ricky Seals Jones, the high point, the touchdown. Take another look at this spectacular catch. Washington, 75 yards in 17 seconds. They're up 27-26. So the Giants, third and 10, big play. Jones, Slayton. Slayton on the sideline. He had a good night, but here he can't keep the feet in bounds. Drive stalls. Kenny Golladay, some frustration on the sidelines. Who would got that? Following drive, Washington. Heinicke made one big mistake on the night, and here it is. Picked off by James Bradbury. Giants had an opportunity, but they would take almost no time off the clock and settle for a field goal. So Big Blue, a 29-27 lead. Chance for the young quarterback, Heinicke, to be the hero. Next drive, Washington. Third and 5 at the Giant 43. Big play. Adam Humphries makes the catch. First down. They're moving the ball. There's 5 seconds left. Here comes Dustin Hopkins. 48 yards for the win, and it's no good. The Giants have won, or have they? Take another look. Dexter Lawrence jumping offside as the ball is snapped. Hopkins is going to get a reprieve. 43 yards this time, and the subtle draw is good. Hopkins, the game winner. Second time in Washington history they win a game with 3 lead changes in the final 5 minutes. The Giants can't believe it. Washington takes it 30-29. Daniel Jones losing his 6th straight primetime game to begin his career. According to Elias, that is tied for the most by a starting quarterback to begin a career since 1950. The bad news for Jones, the Giants play again in primetime this year. And, oh, by the way, it's against Kansas City. That is on November 1st. Now, at 0-2, which they seem to start at every single year, who knows what will matter by the time we get to November 1st for then. So let's get the crew in here. Ryan Clark, this obviously was an entertaining and exciting game. But what was it? How would you describe the game we watched last night?
Greeny, throughout history, we've been enamored with teams that refuse to lose. This is what it looks like when teams refuse to win. When there are two very bad football teams, two football teams that will not be vying for NFC championships playing one another. And that's what we saw. We saw a defense in the Washington football team that we thought was going to be gangbusters the entire year, the entire offseason. We're speaking of this team being able to compete for the NFC East. And if Ryan Fitzpatrick being able to compete for even the NFC championship, but that's not the same team. they ranked 24th in rush rate in the entire NFL right now in getting pressure on the quarterback. They only get it 25% of the time. That's not who Montez Sweat. That's not who Chase Young is. And in the secondary, the play has been below the line. And now we go to the other side. Daniel Jones actually plays well against the Washington football team. I mean, it's the team he's beat four times in his career. I believe he's only got four other wins in total. Daniel Jones plays well. They have an opportunity to go up a touchdown. Darius Slayton, the ball hits off his right hand. It's not caught. Then they come back. They get an interception. So it's like, oh my gosh, the Giants, they finally figured it out. And Joe Judge, the special teams coach, the hard, it's all about football. You have no life coach. Dexter Lawrence jumps off sides and gives the Washington football team another opportunity. This was a game that was played like these teams both were vying for the number one overall spot. But the problem is there's no quarterback to get. And so the one thing you walk away from this game saying is at least this. Taylor Heinicke can play quarterback. You don't need to go out and get a veteran. Other than that, there were no answers for either of this team on how they move forward and be successful.
So I want to just offer a little bit of a defense for this game and for this division from my esteemed colleague, Mr. Graziano, because you made a very interesting comparison when you described this game to me earlier.
This occurred to me last night, right? The NFC East, everybody rips on the NFC East all the time. The NFC East is the New Jersey of the NFL. And I don't mean that as a negative, because I'm from New Jersey and I love
New Jersey
and I always stand up for it. But what I'm saying is the people who aren't from New Jersey and rip on it all the time don't get it. They don't understand what's great about it. And it's fine. Who needs them? NFC East. This is my first job at ESPN, was NFC East blogger.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Every fan base hates every other team in the division. It's just so cool to watch them go at it. And yeah, last night there was a lot of bad football played last night, but it was entertaining and exciting NFC East football. And if people don't like it, those four fan bases really don't care.
It was that, but Ninko,
to New York.
Yeah, exactly. Here's the thing, Ninko, and you said it this morning, in our meeting, and the Giants really gave this game away, right? And it's a team that always loses the first two games of the season, but this was more a function of the Giants losing a football game than it was Washington winning it, yes?
Yeah, 100%. And you think about three plays that come to mind. One being the holding call and the Daniel Jones scramble for a touchdown on the RPO where he pulled it, ran for a touchdown. Actually, very fast. Like, he was running away from the DBs in that particular moment. So that very fast. So that holding call takes 7 points off the board. They had to settle for a field goal. Then you look forward to the drop pass in the end zone. That's another 7-point missed opportunity. And then, obviously, I mean, what are we doing jumping, trying to get to the field goal block? When you're on the inside, usually the inside guys, you're just trying to make a pile, get your hand up, hope that the ball is low and that you can get your hand up. The jump off sides in that particular moment, it is unacceptable. And Joe Judge, being the special teams coach that I know him as, that's going to be a problem for him. That's going to be a problem. So, you know, moving forward, I this was a game of hot potato on, okay, no, you take the win. No, you take the win.
Exactly.
And at the end of the day, yes, it was exciting, but it was also, if you're a coach or a player, you're looking at this game like, what the heck is this? It was sloppy.
It was, but you know what? Like, I don't think there's nothing you could take out of this game, right?
Right.
I mean, Daniel Jones did play well.
Yeah.
If this season for the Giants is a referendum on Daniel Jones and his future there, this is a strong point in his favor. Taylor Heinicke played well. I don't think it's out of the question that when Ryan Fitzpatrick gets healthy, Heinicke could still keep the job. I mean, they do definitely like him there. So there were things that came out of this game for both teams to feel good about. The problem is, one of them had to lose.
It's also not out of the question that this game may wind up being important at the end of the season in the divisional race. And that, of course, brings us to the Dallas Cowboys, who had the moral victory of the season in week one, but are 0-1, headed to a tough game against the Chargers this week. Now, there's good news and bad for the Cowboys there. Zach Martin back after missing that opener, after being on the COVID-19 list. Last year, he led the team in pass block win rate, so he's their best offensive lineman. He'll be back. But the news on the other side of the ball is really bad. They'll be without DeMarcus Lawrence for 6 to 8 weeks after he broke his foot at practice on Wednesday. He's one of four players with 200 pressures since 2017. He's by far their best defensive player. And going into Sunday, the Cowboys are slight underdogs against the Chargers, according to our analytics. And with a loss, Dallas would fall to 0-2 for the first time since 2010. They are a 3.5-point underdog, according to our friends at Caesars. And so, Ryan Clark, let's get into this game here. The Chargers, we expected them to be the better team. How do the Cowboys go from a moral victory to a real victory this Sunday, if they can, on the West Coast?
The moral victories are over in Dallas, right? That's not why the Dallas Cowboys supposedly play football, although it has been why they've played that way for the last quarter of a century. Dak Prescott has to have the same type of night that he had in Tampa, but I think it's going to be more difficult. There's a great rusher in Joey Bosa. I think on the back end, Derwin James is going to be vying for the defensive player of the year. So this is about getting Ezekiel Elliott involved. And I know we had this argument last week, Dan. You even took to Twitter and you started siding with people that you don't even work with over me, which truly hurt my feelings, but that's okay. When you look at what Antonio Gibson was able to do against this defense, averaging 4.5 yards a carry for the Washington football team against the Los Angeles Chargers, I think Ezekiel Elliott will be more involved. And from what I listened to Dan Graziano, since they are taking it week to week, since they are using places where they have advantages, that will be something that happens this week, because now you don't have one of your best defensive players, a guy who makes a huge play against Rojo last week that keeps you in this game. On the back end, you're decimated with injuries. Also, you ain't got no talent. And so this is going to be about the offense controlling the football and scoring points, because it's not going to be one of those games where they can hold it and not get the ball in the end zone and hope to beat the Los Angeles Chargers.
What did I miss here? What is the issue here? You're telling him that Zeke Elliott is going to wind up having a big day and that was just an aberration?
What I said was the Cowboys built a game plan specific to the Buccaneers defense, a defense you cannot run the ball on. They averaged 80 rushing yards against them per game last year. So it was a smart game plan. Ezekiel Elliott was part of the pass protection. I think going forward, it's a lot more balanced. And yes, as good as the Chargers might be on defense, they don't terrify you with their run defense the way the Buccaneers do.
So, Rob Ninkovich, let me then come to you on that thought. Because Jerry Jones didn't pay all those millions of dollars to Ezekiel Elliott to be a great pass blocker, and I didn't draft him eighth in my fantasy draft.
That's what it's about.
To be a great pass blocker. So are you telling me Ezekiel Elliott is going to have a big day Sunday against the Chargers?
If the Dallas Cowboys win the time of possession in this matchup, they'll win the game. And that will tell the tale that they were able to run the football with success. And if Zeke can run the ball and they can keep the time of possession in their favor on the road in a new stadium, new environment, people are going to be jacked up to see them playing in this stadium. You're going to be able to win this football game. So if they can run the football, they'll win the game. So talking back on Zeke, it's going to be vital that they establish the run early. Then they'll be able to win the time of possession.
So, RC, I guess that really is the question. If the Cowboys are going to win this game, is it going to be a Dak game or a Zeke game?
I think it has to be both. And I know that's like, oh, Ryan, stop playing defense. Your friend Greeny set you up with this great answer and you can be definitive. But that is the definitive answer. The definitive answer is that Ezekiel Elliott is going to have to control the pace of this game. Dak Prescott is going to have to make the winning football plays. When you watch the Los Angeles Chargers, they've always been in football games. What they haven't been able to do is finish. We watched Justin Herbert. We watched Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Jerry Cook. Those guys finished last week. The tie could be turning now with Brandon Staley. What happened last week, though, was Dak Prescott did make the winning plays. Dak Prescott did find ways to put this team atop the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He has to do the same thing and more this week, but he can only do that if the pace is controlled by Ezekiel Elliott. Because if Justin Herbert has the football last or has the football more, the Los Angeles Chargers are going to run the score up against the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, it's going to be a very interesting game and a weekend filled with them. Let's work our way towards some more of those. As we continue today, get your popcorn ready for Sunday night when it will be MVP versus MVP. Can Lamar Jackson out-highlight Patrick Mahomes for an upset? And what will he have to do to win that game? Plus, the Hall of Fame coach chimes in on the quarterback shenanigans in Chicago. His take on the handling of Fields might surprise you. You'll hear it as we roll on. It's Get Up on ESPN.
The Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back on Get Up in time for your wake-up call, WFAN. More heartbreak for Big Blue.
Now it's a 43-yarder. Snap is good. Kick on its way. And it's good. And Washington has defeated the Giants 30-29. And for the fifth consecutive year, the New York Giants have started the season 0-2. And they have nobody, and I mean nobody, to blame but themselves.
That's a very honest assessment there, and candidly, it's absolutely right. Meanwhile, Hopkins, the walk-off winner for Washington, a go-ahead score with no time left. It's Washington's first such win against the Giants since 1981, when Mark Moseley kicked a 48-yard field goal in overtime. According to Alliance, it's the first time it's ever happened in regulation. Much more on the Thursday night thriller as we go. Meanwhile, either or, let's look ahead to Sunday. Rob Ninkovich, who will have more total touchdowns, Jalen Hurts or Jimmy G?
Jalen Hurts, and that's because not only will he throw one, he'll run for one as well. I'm high on this guy. I think he's going to be one of the best up-and-coming guys in the league.
Graziano, you're next. Who will have more passing yards this Sunday, Ben Roethlisberger or Derek Carr?
Roethlisberger will. Look, they're at home. He's always been better at home than on the road in terms of his production. And the Pittsburgh defense is no joke. I think Derek Carr is going to have a tough time with the Steeler defense in Pittsburgh. Roethlisberger, more yards than Carr on Sunday.
Carr threw for over 400 against Baltimore on Monday night, but this might be a different test. And then we come to our DraftKings poll question of the day, which is who will have more combined passing and rushing yards Sunday night in the showdown between the MVPs, Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes. DraftKings, of course, as you know, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. This Sunday only, new players can play free for over $1 million in total prizes when you make your first deposit. Download the DraftKings app and sign up with the code GETUP. But so we'll get the answer to the question from Ryan Clark. RC, who has more total yards Sunday night, Lamar or Mahomes?
I'm going to go with Lamar, Greeny, and I know that Lamar doesn't have necessarily the skill players surrounding him that Patrick Mahomes has. He doesn't have the brand new offensive line that actually cares to protect him, but he understands that he needs to be Superman in order for this team to win, and he'll still be upset about those two fumbles that cost him the game against the Las Vegas Raiders. Lamar Jackson is going to go crazy against the Kansas City Chiefs defense.
Yeah, this is a fascinating game in so many different ways. And Lamar Jackson, we all know the history. He has been brilliant against everyone but Kansas City in his career. So he was asked this week about his rivalry with Patrick Mahomes. Here's what he said.
It's not about, you know, me and Mahomes. Not to me, you know, probably to everyone else. But, you know, it's the Ravens versus the Kansas City Chiefs. They did beat us, you know, 3 times or whatever, but that's in the past. I'm not dwelling on those losses. You know, we coming Sunday night and we're going to play.
Well, the numbers are stark there. I mean, he's 0-3 against Mahomes in his career. He's 30-5 against everybody else. And you see the QBR on your screen at 17 points higher when he plays against all other teams. And so that just sort of is what it is. But Ryan Clark, you had a fascinating response this morning when I asked you about the gap, if you will, between these two MVPs, these two young stars, Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. What do you think it is?
Well, here's the problem, Greeny. So many times we look at Lamar Jackson as if he's in the shadow of Patrick Mahomes. But there's a famous quote that I love, that the brighter the sun, the darker the shadow. And there's so much sun that's been shining on Lamar Jackson because of his accomplishment, because of how good this team is, because of the MVP he won in year two, and because of the fact that against everyone else, Lamar Jackson is absolutely outstanding, and so are the Baltimore Ravens. But let's be honest about the Kansas City Chiefs, Greeny. Let's really dissect this. And think about, who else do we compare to the Kansas City Chiefs? Who else do we put the pressure on of, you have to beat the Kansas City Chiefs? Nobody. We don't talk about Baker Mayfield like this. We didn't come in after week one and saying, oh my gosh, Baker really needs to get over that Patrick Mahomes hump. You know, we don't talk about Josh Allen like this after the AFC Championship. You know, Josh Allen, he's good. If he can get over that Mahomes hump, he'll be right there. No, we only say this about Lamar Jackson because he's the only young quarterback in the AFC that's comparable. But he's exactly right. It's not about him against Patrick Mahomes. It's actually worse now, right? Because I think he's fighting from a deficit. He's had teams that have gone into Kansas City or walked into primetime against the Kansas City Chiefs and had better rosters. This team does not. This is going to be about, what can Greg Roman do to put this offense in good positions? What can this defense do to create short fields? Lamar Jackson is going to need help, but on top of needing help, he is going to need Superman. The gap between these two players is so much closer than the gap between Patrick Mahomes and many of the other AFC quarterbacks are. The thing is, Lamar Jackson has been so great every other time, he's going to need a touch of that greatness and more in order to win this game against Kansas City this weekend.
Now, Nico, as long as I've been having you on this show, you have been singing the praises of Lamar Jackson, up to the point where you were making the point with us this morning, if you were to switch the situations these guys are in, we might look at them differently.
Yeah, and RC talks about the gap. I'm looking at this gap in a sense of, the Ravens team is a lot less talented than Kansas City right now. And you look at the roster, you look at Kansas City's offense, the firepower that Patrick Mahomes has, that he can dish the ball out to some of the most talented players in the NFL, the best tight end in the NFL, one of the fastest receivers in the NFL. They have a running back core that wasn't devastated by ACL injuries. And Lamar, on the flip side of that, all the pressure of the whole team, and everybody's looking at Lamar to make every play. Lamar, what's Lamar going to do in this situation? Where in reality, these games are won and lost by the team that you're surrounded by. So if you were to take Lamar and put him on Kansas City's roster, they would be just as scary with Lamar, even more because of how fast he is out of the backfield, than Patrick Mahomes. If you put Patrick Mahomes on the Ravens, I think he'd have some trouble with that team. Yes.
It's an interesting thought, and you've been saying that for a long time. And Graziano, I know this is your game this weekend, and you were making the point that this one probably sets up as badly for Lamar as any of them have.
I mean, you look at what the Ravens are dealing with, injuries at running back, on the offensive line, in the secondary. I mean, this, if Lamar Jackson beats Patrick Mahomes on Sunday night, it will be a greater accomplishment than it would have been in any of those previous three meetings, because
absolutely,
the Baltimore Ravens roster was in so much better shape for those games. So if you believe that Baltimore can win this game, you're putting your faith in Lamar Jackson and in the Baltimore coaching staff, which are two pretty good places to put your faith. But I do think they're outmanned in this one.
One of the things that we'll talk about later is, are they just asking too much of one player, no matter how good he is, to have a realistic chance to accomplish anything this year? And that player, of course, is Lamar Jackson. We'll break briefly on that thought. So much to come on this Football Friday. As we continue, it was an ending so nice they kicked it twice. But RC said some people would compare last night to a horror film. He will explain his tweets next off a Thursday Night Thriller. Get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back on Get Up, and if you missed it last night, you missed a thriller on a Thursday night. Giants, Washington football team pick it up in the fourth quarter, tight game. Washington down six, but driving. Taylor Heinicke looking for Ricky Seals-Jones in the back of the end zone. And watch him high point this football. 336 passing yards for Heinicke on the night. Washington up 27-26. But Heinicke would make one huge mistake. And there it was. James Bradbury with the pick. Giants would have an opportunity to put this game away, but they wouldn't. They would settle for a field goal and a 29-27 lead and take very little time off the clock, which left that opportunity for Heinicke, and he took advantage. That's Adam Humphries on a third down. Washington ultimately setting up with 5 seconds to go for a 48-yard kick from Dustin Hopkins, which is no good. But if you're in New York, avert your eyes. Dexter Lawrence jumped before the ball was snapped. And so Hopkins would get another chance, and this time from 43 yards away as time expires. It's actually an untimed down, and he kicks the 43-yard game winner. Washington 30 and the Giants 29. The Giants' fifth straight year. They begin 0-2, and Heinicke throwing for 336. That gives him 916 yards in his first three career starts. That's the second most through three starts by any undrafted player ever. You see, it's ahead of Kurt Warner and Tony Romo. That leads us to RC's Twitter feed, where he had some thoughts on the Washington quarterback situation. Let's do it. Tweet number one from RC. Here it comes. Welp, will be no vet QB signed by the WFT. If they were lying because it was a short week, they ain't lying no mo. If y'all want a Cam and Riverboat reunion, go ahead and cancel Christmas. Santa Claus won't be wearing tight pants, ascots, and hats with holes on top. This was hashtag TaylorMade. RC, explain your tweet.
Well, you know, Greeny, one of my favorite Christmas songs is Santa Claus is a Black Man, and he will not be a black man for the Washington football team because Taylor Heinicke, to me, solidified his position. You can go back to last postseason when he played against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and it looked like this was a kid who understood it. This was a kid who the moment wasn't too big for. And last night, after throwing an interception to James Bradbury, he leads his team down the field for a field goal. And this is after an amazing pass in the corner to Seals Jones to put his team back in this game. Taylor Heinicke is a dude that you can grow with, a dude that you can continue to win football games with. And if you're the Washington football team, there's no need to look any further than your own building.
Okay, I like that one. Here we go. Tweet number two from Ryan Clark. He wrote, James Bradbury has to feel like he said Candyman in the mirror five times and he showed up as Terry McLaurin. This has been a horror film. He needs a whole nother Keenan Peele movie like Get Out. RC, explain that tweet.
Man, listen, James Bradbury was excellent last year. He was one of the biggest acquisitions for the New York Giants in free agency. And Scary Terry was giving him the business. Scary Terry earned his last name because he was beating him inside. He was beating him outside. He was beating him for touchdowns. He was making big play after big play throughout the entire game. But at one point, what does James Bradbury do? He comes, he gets an interception, and then on the two-minute drive, he gives up another play. When a wide receiver has your number in that way, sometimes there is nothing you can do. You need to call the coach. You need to call your friends. You need to call help. And last night was not James Bradbury's day.
Okay, third tweet of the morning, and this one is going to come with some photographic illustration. RC tweeted, I need a jean outfit. I mean old school Rockaware, Sean John joint, and some Tim's. Then I'm about to wear it on Get Up ESPN, and we have just a little demonstration of what that might look like, RC, in your jean outfit there. Explain that tweet.
Greedy, that's clean. Greedy, so my first 2 years in the league, I was with the New York Giants. And when I was with the New York Giants, that's when Rockefeller was huge. Obviously, P. Diddy, you had Dipset. And And so we all, you know, we wore these jean outfits and we had our Tims on and I would wear my bucket hats. I miss those days, Greeny. And you know, Get Up has become such a great show. Now we're getting stuffy and I wear coats and I wear button downs. I just want to make it relaxed again. I just want to show up like Justin Timberlake showed up to the VMAs with Britney Spears years ago. He looked comfortable. He looked clean. He was ready to roll. I want to show up on Get Up with a Canadian tuxedo. And trust me, Greeny, it's coming.
Okay, I'm all in on that. Let's coordinate that. I probably won't match it, but I will absolutely enjoy you doing it. And once again, the photo's outstanding. More on last night's game as we continue. Meanwhile, the biggest topic of conversation in the sport continues to be the Bears quarterback situation. Andy Dalton remains the starter. Rookie Justin Fields played 3 snaps in week 1, had a rushing touchdown against the Rams in a one-sided loss. The legend, the Hall of Famer Bill Parcells, was on ESPN Radio yesterday. He weighed in on the idea of starting Justin Fields.
If you put a guy in the wrong place, it's not so much him being ready. Does the environment give him a chance to succeed? And I think that's what they're facing in Chicago. You know, everybody wants to see the new shiny thing, but if you put a player in and not only maybe he's not quite ready, but the environment that he's going in is also not too good, then sometimes that leads to destruction.
All right, so there's the perspective of a Hall of Famer. Now, Rob Ninkovich is the pride of Joliet, Illinois. We will save the best for last year. We will get the super fans' perspective on this in just a moment. But, RC, let's start with this. All of the yelling and clamoring for Justin Fields to start, at least in this week, we know it isn't going to happen. So, if you were designing the offense with Dalton as the starter, what would it look like this Sunday?
You know what saying I hate, Greeny? I hate that saying that if you have 2 quarterbacks, you don't have 1. Mm. I have a new saying. If you have an old, over-the-hill quarterback who's not very good anymore, you also don't have 1. And so why are we trying to do this experiment with Andy Dalton? I understand you told him that he was going to start. He had to have some assurances. But that was before you got smart and moved up to 11 to get Justin Fields. And I love the fact that you put him out there. You let him throw a hitch, even though you talk about it's a little bit inside. You give him an opportunity for a zone read and he scores a touchdown. That package needs to be extended. They need to find more plays and more opportunities to prepare Justin Fields and get him ready to be the starter. If I'm Matt Nagy, since I was extremely honest in the offseason and Andy Dalton got his start, now we have another conversation. The conversation we have is, Andy, you're going to walk on the field first, but Justin Fields is going to play. And he's going to play meaningful quarterback minutes. He's not going to be Taysom Hill. He's not going to be Ronnie Brown and run the Wildcat. We are not going to do what Kirby Smart did when he had Jake Fromm and Justin Fields and make him the third running back. We're going to teach him how to play quarterback. We're going to allow him to be comfortable. And every single snap that Justin Fields takes is preparing him to be the starting quarterback sooner than later. That's where the Chicago Bears need to be. That's a decision that Matt Nagy needs to make.
Now, Dan, you were making the point. You think some of the things we saw Sunday night, as limited as it was, were actually leading in that direction.
Yeah, I think that is what they're doing. And obviously, look, they also believe this is going to help them win games if they spot him in key situations. But their main focus is getting him ready to be their starter, as RC said. And I think those are the situations you're going to continue to see him in. Situations where they feel like he needs in-game exposure and also put him in a position to succeed. Because you put him in, you know, in the red zone like we saw here. Here's a play that was successful. Ultimately, I don't know, was that the interception with Dalton? But ultimately, they're in position to score, even though they obviously don't. But the point is, you're
Dalton's
putting Justin Fields
there,
in situations where you think he can be successful now to help build up his confidence and help him learn what he still needs to learn in those key situations before he's your starting quarterback.
Well, I have done my best many days here with all of my long ties to the great city of Chicago to express the perspective of the Bears fans. But today, we have the pride of Joliet, Illinois, one Rob Ninkovich, who will speak on behalf of the super fans. Rob, the floor is yours.
Yeah, so the super fans, they sent me a letter. This letter is to Coach Nagy, and I have it right here. I'm going to read it out, and we'll just see. This is from the super fans. Here we go. Dear Sir One Matthew Nagy, we, the Bears super fans, ask you to use one of the greatest resources known to man, Sir One Coach Mike Ditka. At a time like this, We know Dicka would make the best choice possible for the Bears. Dicka plus the Bears is a Category 5 of power. Call Dicka, Coach Nagy. You will use his powers to take the Bears to Super Bowl 55. And if you get Dicka and the Bears and Fields on a field, their unstoppable force will take them all the way to the Super Bowl. The Bears, Dicka, Super Bowl, super fans. Take care, sincerely, the Bears super fans.
Okay, that's well
done. That was it. That's what they said.
That's what they wrote, yeah.
That's it.
He's just reading it.
Is it going to be Mike Dicka's spirit? Like, what is going on? I'm so confused.
It is 100%. That is what every call to ESPN 1000 sounds like. Literally every single one of them are stationed in Chicago. They're calling up Waddle and Sylvie, and they're saying exactly that. All right, we'll see what they wind up doing on Sunday against Cincinnati, Andy Dalton's longtime former team. Meanwhile, to baseball, let me run through some of this quickly for you here. Two-way superstar Shohei Ohtani will not pitch tonight for the Angels because of a sore right arm that could sideline him as a pitcher for the rest of the season. He felt soreness while playing catch on Wednesday. He is the prohibitive favorite to win the league MVP. Meanwhile, Bryce Harper and the Phillies rallied from 7 down to beat the Cubs 17-8. Harper was 3-for-4, 2 doubles, an RBI, and a home run. The Phillies are 3 games behind first place Atlanta in the NL East with 16 games left to play. The Yankees were in a 3-way tie for first in the American League wildcard when they woke up. However, the Orioles put that to bed last night, rallying to tie their game in the ninth, and then Austin Hayes with that RBI single in the 10th, giving the Orioles a stunning 3-2 win, dropping the Yankees back in the American League wildcard race. Let's show it to you here. They're now a half game out of the playoffs. Blue Jays and Red Sox are tied up in the final two spots. According to FanGraphs, the Yankees are most likely of those three to be left out of the playoffs, something that hasn't happened since 2016. Now, if you're looking for baseball Sunday night, we've got it for you. Big series finale, Phillies and Mets at Citi Field. It'll be on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Coverage begins 6 Eastern with Baseball Tonight, Sunday Night Countdown. All right, coming up, Alabama looks like they could roll into the college football playoff, but could they be on upset alert this weekend? We've got that answer next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on a Football Friday edition of Get Up, and age is just a number to 44-year-old Tom Brady, who threw for 379 and 4 touchdowns week 1 against the Cowboys. Yesterday, he sat down with his longtime buddy Gronk, who asked him just how long he can keep this thing rolling. This answer is fascinating.
Can Tom Brady play till 50, like 50 years old?
Yeah. 50.
50.
You're 44, that's 6 more years.
I don't find it so difficult. And plus in the Florida, it's kind of a retiree state. So I feel like I can play and then just glide into retirement. I think I can. I think it's a yes.
You know, there's a little spin to that question. I think it's, will Giselle let Tom play till 50? That's the real question.
That is a way better question. And in fact, why would they not Google that?
All right. I mean, we all know in the commercial, he tells Giselle he's got 10 more years. David Pollack joins us here from the set of College Game Day, and we will get into the big college games in just a moment. But, RC, let me just ask you this. Like, is there anything that you're seeing that obviously suggests, I mean, the notion of playing till you're 50 sounds so ridiculous, but is there anything you're seeing that suggests he can't do it if he really wants to?
Just the fact that it's 6 more years. I think we just have to stop trying to figure out Tom Brady or figure out how he's able to do this. And I think the thing that would give you a little bit of pause about whether or not Tom Brady could accomplish this feat was that no one else has done it. But also no one else has done what he's done throughout his career to this point. And so I think it's truly time to stop doubting him. Now, here's what happens. As you get older, the season wears on you, right? We saw that happen with Drew Brees. When the playoffs would come, he wouldn't be as good as the start of the season. Tom Brady will retire when Tom Brady's play can no longer win you a championship. But for the next 2 or 3 years at least, I don't see that happening.
David Pollack, what do you think? How much longer do you think Brady does this?
First of all, if you just said he could play to 44, I'd have said you're out your mind. But one thing we got to put in context right. is the game is so different. This isn't like when RC played. Mm-hmm. Like, you used to be able to destroy quarterbacks, and that old hip would come into play, and you couldn't play anymore. So you saw Drew Brees play into his 40s. You see Aaron Rodgers is going to do the same thing. All quarterbacks are going to play way longer into the career. The rule changes are so significant. You saw it last night. If you touch a quarterback, it's a 15-yard penalty.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a defensive lineman at heart, David Pollack, that bothers him enormously. And Dan Graziano, I mean, that was part of a video they did, Tommy and Gronky, and they just seem to be having so much fun. And that kind of plays into this, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, it's far from an official announcement. I mean, the flamingos kind of detract from the gravitas of that. But look, I mean, yeah, he's having a great time. And the first year in Tampa couldn't have gone any better. They won the Super Bowl. They win it again. Who knows? If the plan is this year and next year, which it seems like based on the contract it might be, there's no reason they couldn't change again if he feels good and they keep winning.
All right, we will see. We'll have more on this as we go. They're the defending champions, obviously, in the NFL. The defending champions in college football have themselves a huge game this weekend, and it is the matchup of the week in the SEC. Let's get to that. Bama and Florida. The Gators will be looking to contain Bryce Young, who right now is the favorite to win the Heisman. He has 7 touchdown passes this season, the most in a player's first 2 starts in Alabama history. As for the Gators quarterback, the snaps will be split between Emory Jones and Anthony Richardson, who had a passing touchdown and 2 rushing touchdowns last week. And despite being on the road, Alabama is a 14.5 point favorite. That is the largest road favorite any team has been against a top 15 opponent since 2005. At some point, they're so good, it almost is taking the fun out of this. This is the first stop that we thought, David, maybe they will be truly tested. Will they be? Can Florida, despite the point spread and despite the brilliance of Nick Saban's team, can Florida find a way to win this game?
Nope. I'm not buying it. Here's the thing. I think they can make it close, but I ain't about to sit up here and buck all that logic you just threw up there, man. I mean, listen, Alabama's Alabama for a reason. Here's why they have a chance. You playing at home. Great, great idea. Obviously, Swamp going nuts, going crazy. Make Bryce Young feel some pressure. You got 3 guys that can run the football. Anthony Richardson is a freshman that can kind of come out of nowhere. Big, strong kid, can run the football. Yeah. Emory Jones is another running back. Malik Davis running the football. Alabama struggles with what historically in the past. You saw in the SEC Championship game. If you can tempo them, if you have a running quarterback a la Ole Miss a year ago, I think Florida can score points and makes Alabama sweat a little bit. And then we get to see the fun stuff. Is Bryce Young ready for this? Is this moment too big? Does he answer? Does he respond? I think Florida's going to keep this within a possession game late in the game, and we're going to see what's inside Alabama's chest for this season.
Okay, well, if it's a possession game late in the game, then you got to give him a fighting chance at least. And so, RC, to remind everyone, you played for Nick Saban, albeit at LSU, not at Alabama. But how does he get his teams ready for a game like this and a moment like this for his young quarterback?
Hey, listen, one, David Pollack started off right with a definitive no, and then he gave the people in Gainesville hope. There is no hope. It was so funny. Throughout the offseason, there's some kids from Louisiana that play defense for Alabama, and I was asking them about Bryce Young, and they were like, well, he's okay, you know, he's coming along. And then I watched the first game against Miami, and I called my son. I said, hey, man, tell your homeboys that they are dead wrong, or their defense must be absolutely amazing, because Bryce Young was poised, he was California cool, and he made plays.
plays. Nick Saban gets his team ready for Florida the same way he gets them ready for Mercer. Every game is the college football playoffs for Nick Saban. Every day is a day to get better and win a championship. It doesn't matter who they're playing. So they will be totally prepared to face Florida in this huge SEC matchup on Saturday.
David Pollack is with us today from State College. Your game is a huge one there, Auburn and Penn State. Give us a look at that one. There's some rumors about James Franklin, the coach at Penn State, possibly being attached to USC. Don't know if at all that impacts this, but they are swirling around out there. Give us a preview of what we can expect in a huge game tomorrow.
James Franklin doesn't impact this game, but it does impact his wallet. He'll get a raise. Congratulations, James. Good job. Keep doing what you do. Thank you for your service. But when I look at this game, man, one of the best running backs in all of college football, one of the absolute best, plays for Auburn. Tanks Bigsby is a man-child. You watch him run the football, he runs angry. He finishes runs forward every single time, breaks so many tackles, and gets up and gives you the flex every single time. I just love the passion, the emotion. He's so, so good. That's the reason Auburn has a chance to come in here and beat Penn State, because they got one of the best running backs in the country.
All right, should be a really interesting day to watch. A lot of good college football, and that's one of the spotlight games, and that's where College Game Day will be. David, enjoy it. Thank you very much. We will be looking forward to that again. College Game Day this week is from State College, PA. It's Reese and Desmond. You know who it is. It's the whole crew getting you ready for Auburn and Penn State and all the big games around the country. Starts 9 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. One app, one tap, and then Saturday Night Football. That's our game. The annual whiteout game. It's number 22 Auburn. It's number 10 Penn State. It's 7:30 Eastern on ABC and the ESPN app, one tap. Hey, Dan Graziano, it's time for Get Your Eyes Checked, which is brought to you by America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. And Will Myers, this one is really probably more a function of the sun than it is his vision. But hold on. That's a bad moment right there, yes?
Yes, that's a bad moment. It had to be the sun, unless he's terrified of the ball or some sort of dragon is delivering the ball. That's unfortunate because, you know, it's a major league player. He's supposed to catch it. Looks bad. You don't like looking bad.
He lost it even with the sunglasses on. The sinking Padres would lose 8-0. Coming up, we're talking about these guys. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. Can Lamar break out of Sir Patrick's shadow? We're talking about it. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.